Welcome back to the Self-Seed Podcast. Today, here with me, I have Faye. That's your name, bro, right? I'm pronouncing it right, or there's Chinese tones to it?
No, that's good.
Yeah, I'm here with Faye, and today we are going to talk about design. Mostly, we are going to see how we are going to redefine design. So we are going to see from products to processes to and just everything in between. And Faye is the professional here, so he's going to give us a narration or walk us through. And my name is Emmanuel. This is the Self-Seed Podcast. And I hope if you're new to the podcast, remember that the Self-Seed Podcast is available on your podcasting platform. And today is episode 15. And if you missed the previous ones, just click on the link on the links attached to this episode, and you'll be redirected to the previous episodes. Or you can just go to www.selfseed.transistor.fm. I hope you enjoy. Welcome, Faye. Welcome, man, to the podcast.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure to have you. It's an honor, you know. Always virtually just talking and stuff, and yeah.
I've always been like looking at your work, like your brand and everything. You've been good.
We are trying the same way you are. You're doing a good job.
I think you're doing great, actually.
Thank you, man.
Yeah.
So, one thing that maybe we can start with is you giving us a glimpse of your journey, how it has been, how it is until this point, and what you're looking forward to, and you know, the whole thing that you do. Just give us your journey. Who is Faye? What do you do? How do you do it? And so on. Yeah.
Okay, good. My name is Faye, and I'm from Nigeria. And I moved to China in 2012 to study, to do my bachelor's. I was in Nanjing for a year, and then I moved to Beijing. So I did my bachelor in architecture in Beijing. I did my master's in Beijing, and then I started working for a while. So that's where like the old design thing started, because I went to design school. That's where like everything, like the designing knowledge and the design, everything about design, that's where I actually learned it. And then what happened was during COVID, you know, the way it was in China, like so many restrictions, so many lockdowns and everything. So there were a lot of times where you'd wake up one day and you'd be like, oh, you cannot go out and you cannot go to work and stuff. You have to work from home. So, you know, there was a lot of like this time where you didn't have a lot of things to do.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to talk about how the clothing brand started.
Mm.
And that's when I had like so many time to do different stuff. And then at that point, I had knowledge with Illustrator.
Yeah,
because in architecture also we use that for analysis drawings, and some drawings we use Illustrator. So I had this knowledge of Illustrator, and then I started like designing t-shirts. It was looking good, and then, you know, being in China, you have like connections to manufacturers and everything.
That's true.
Yeah, I did couple samples, and it was looking good. So I was like, okay, I would try to maybe sell it. And then I just opened an Instagram page for it, came up with a name, and yeah, that's how. There's a lot of things to it. Maybe we'll get into details about it, but this is just like the preview of how everything happened with the brand, how I started, how I went to China and everything.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I think your story is cool. It's cool because I mean, COVID did a lot of wonders, a lot of magic to us. It had both positive, both negative impacts, but I think when we weigh and see the positives, it was a good time as well. It was a good time where you had to like reconnect with yourself,
Yeah, I agree.
reinvent things, or maybe invent things. And that's cool.
Right.
That's cool. I think there are a lot of people who started businesses, let's say online related businesses during
Yeah,
COVID.
during
People
COVID,
created softwares just to solve the problem of staying at home. Yeah.
right? Yeah.
I like if for anyone listening, this guy here or with us today, he runs 15,
Right.
a brand,
All right.
and you can go check them on out on Instagram, or the website is 15.com. No?
Python Studios.
Oh, 15studios.com. Yeah, you can go check out their products and so on. So you said something about going to design school, doing architecture, and as engineers we know that you architects sometimes can create things, pieces, or that are complicated, and as an engineer you have to just bring it to life.
Oh
An
yeah.
architect can just decide to design a C or an S or a shape which is maybe
Yeah.
has never existed before, and you have to bring it to life.
Right.
But same as engineering, I think there are some principles that you guys in design school follow. Like
Yeah.
there are some principles that you have to maybe look into, that you even took these principles away from architecture school, you brought them into 15, into your daily life and so on. And I would just like to know, what are some of the principles of design and even the design, the whole design thinking process? How is it like?
Yeah, so with architecture and any kind of design, I think there are so many skills where you can transfer, like transferable skills. Because in architecture school, they actually teach you a lot about different types of design. Because you design a lot of buildings, different kind of buildings in school. There's no like specialization where you like, okay, I only design schools or I only design hotels or something like that. So in the school, you get like exposed to so many things. You get exposed to how to design a hospital. There you have to think about, okay, how is the patient gonna come in? Where is the emergency? You think about everything, and then when you design a school, you also think about, okay, where are the kids gonna come in? Where are the parents gonna stay? Or when you design a house, where is the room gonna face for like sunlight and all that stuff? So you actually think about all of the things like the functions, then you think about like, oh, how do you want it to look? Because obviously you always want everything you design to look good. So that's the same principle like you applied to, I applied to designing when I started designing clothes. So I first think about like, what do I want it to look like? Why do I want to make this? Like one of the first designs I did was the hoodie where you can have as a backpack.
I remember
I
that
think,
design.
yeah, you remember. So it was like, okay, I made a sample of a normal hoodie without the backpack feature and stuff. And then I remember that day I received the sample of this hoodie. And then I went out to a bar and I didn't have any place to put my hoodie. And then I went, I'm like, okay, so what can I do to like make it look better? Like, okay, how can I carry it better? And then I went online, I went to search, and then you find out that someone has already done something cool with the backpack hoodie, and it's not something you have to reinvent. I'm like, okay, this is cool, I want to make something like that. So that's how I like added that feature to the hoodie I already designed. So it's like a lot of research as well, because same with architecture, before you start a design you do research like of what people have done before, like architects, you know, the architects and all that stuff. So when I design like t-shirts, for example, also I do research like, okay, I want to make it look like this. Probably someone has already done something the same, like what I'm thinking about. So I look at something that looks the same, and then I'm like, okay, how can I make it mine? So I had my own touch, I had my own branding to it. I'm like, okay, this I don't really like it. I start like criticizing people's ideas, and that's how I like come up with my own ideas. So that's just basically my design process. With architecture and everything, that's just the way I do things.
That's very good. That's very good how you start with the research, trying
right.
knowing that not everything that you create has to be new, completely
right,
new,
exactly.
never
right.
existed, because I mean
right.
there are a lot of people, great people, who have already done a lot of work,
yeah.
groundwork. So you just yeah. take it from there, and then you look at the functionality, the aesthetics, and you
yeah.
give it into your own way. It's
yeah.
like a story. Five people can tell the same story, but one person among the five, the story would engage with the audience more
yeah,
because
exactly.
of how they told the story, right?
Right. Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. I mean, that's sorry for cutting, but that's a good thing, because when you think about it, when you see it, someone has done something before.
Yeah.
And you know you can do it and you can make it better. That's how you like yeah. push innovation. And, you know, it's like before, probably they would feel like, okay, nobody can fly.
Yeah.
And then someone came, made the first flight, and then
the first flight. Yeah.
Start improving. So that's how everything. I feel like that any innovation, that's how it starts.
That's what keeps our society moving.
Right.
I mean, you see somewhere, where was it? I saw that thing that sometimes there's a trick that you just have to use. It's just like steal. In simple words, it's like steal
yeah.
the idea, just put it in your own words.
Yeah.
there was a meme how it says, the meme was the picture of the flag of, was it Senegal and Cameroon or some
yeah.
of those West African countries, the flag
yeah.
was like,
yeah,
you know,
right.
their flags are usually almost
yeah, yeah.
similar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
and then
yeah.
the meme on top said, when you told your friend not to copy as you did, and they
and it just,
they just
changed
shifted
a little
the
bit,
assignments.
Right?
yeah, so
yeah,
that,
yeah, yeah,
that's good. So the other thing that comes into my mind is, how do we then apply the principles of design to daily life, to our everyday life? Because I think, well, the podcast is mostly to help people become better versions of themselves in any area that they are doing, professionally, personally, and just become greater than how you were yesterday.
Right.
So how then do we apply these design thinking into our daily life? Like, let's say you said there are things that you have to look at before you do any project. You have to study the functionality. How is it going to be used? So as for, at the same time, you have to consider aesthetics and so on, right? And then for engineers, they have to look at the lifespan of the building, serviceability, and, you know, that process. So then in our daily life, how can we apply these principles? Take them away from class and yeah. use them as the way you have used them to bring about your brand, applying yeah. them to your brand creation process.
Right.
How about other areas of life? How can someone maybe emulate these things?
I can talk from my own perspective.
Yeah, that's cool. That's the important part.
Yeah, so because I might be right, I might be wrong in my own, the way I do my things, but yeah.
Yeah.
For me, I think being a designer, like, changed a lot for me in my life, like in my daily life and stuff. I feel like I see things differently than maybe an average person. So like when I go out, I do notice things. Like maybe I see just someone wearing a random t-shirt on the street, someone wearing a car that looks funny or something. No, I really,
we're on the same track there. Yeah.
Yeah, I really did notice some of the things. And I think for me it makes my day more interesting somehow, because now I'm seeing things, I'm like looking at, I'm on a train, I'm looking at people, and like the way, just you know, like just the way things are, you know,
things
there was
are,
this,
yeah.
Yeah, there was this, day I was on the train and I saw this cool. So the train is a very bland color. Everywhere was like gray. And then suddenly there's this handlebar like neon green color, which just looked very cool. It looked very simple, but I was like, oh, this is something like, you know, it's just purple color, you know, those kind of things. And yeah, these are the kind of things I notice in my day-to-day life and how I apply like my what I learned in design school to my daily life is maybe if I want to do something, you know, the research aspects, the attention to detail and all that kind of stuff, I think is important for your day-to-day life. I don't know how to put it directly, but I think you might get what I mean, you know.
Yeah, I understand on that.
Right.
There's a way that when you're already immersed into the creation process, there's a way that you see life differently.
Yeah, right.
Like everything that happens around you, you seem to look at it as an opportunity to maybe do something. You know, you're looking at, as you said, you're looking at someone, what are they wearing? And now you're trying to figure out in your mind, if they could have done that. Oh, there's that. Cool. That's cool.
Right. And then you get ideas for yourself also. Like, okay, I'm doing this wrong. I'm doing this right. This seems cool. I'm going to try that.
Yeah.
You know, those kind of stuff. Like,
The little thing that I'm getting here is that we design, applying the principles of design to our daily life, is like we have to pay more attention to details. Right, it helps us pay attention to details
right.
without things passing us. How do they say that word? They like to say that, well, you don't live life, you just exist. But then knowing some things in detail helps you like get a grasp of why is that happening. Like I think there are sometimes that you wonder or you talk to yourself and you feel like maybe people think I'm, you know, weird paying attention to things that even a commoner will never pay attention to. That's cool. You tell them that's cool. Sometimes I walk with my friends and I do tell them, maybe I mentioned something that I observed. And to them, it's just like, well, it's a normal thing. But to me, it's like extraordinary. Yeah. Seeing it there traps my attention, and you just want to focus on that.
Right.
And that's the cool thing about these design principles. And once you pay attention to detail, it means you'll start following the procedures of handling even life situations, how you go about your situations, looking at them from different angles, seeing how you could have. Or not you could have, but rather how you can do better, how you can face circumstances better, right?
Right. I think also one thing I do like in my day-to-day life is I take a lot of pictures, just of random things. If you check my camera roll, you just see pictures of so many random things. Like, okay, this looks cool. I take a picture of it and I just forget about it. It's just on my phone, you know? And then something like just scrolling by, I'm like, oh, when did I take this picture? This is actually... looks cool, it's speaking to me right now, you know. Sometimes I just don't even think about it, and months later it's just like, okay, this looks cool. Just like the time I started the brand, the first design I made was a picture. I don't know if you've seen that design. It was a picture of the palms,
like on the beach or something.
So I took this picture and I think it was in before COVID. I went on a holiday from China. I just took this picture on a random beach. I never had a plan to create a brand at that time. No plan. That picture was just on my phone. And then when I had the idea, like, oh, I want to create a brand, I was just like scrolling through pictures on my phone. I'm like, oh, I must have something on my phone. I've taken a lot of pictures. And then I just saw this video, I'm like, okay. And then I started like manipulating it on Photoshop, adding some colors, color grading and all that stuff. And I'm like, okay, this is cool.
Until you got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think that photo was cool on the t-shirt, even looking at it from a far distance, because it's just like an everyday common life for people who live in coastal areas.
Right.
And it was just not a prefabricated, not a recreated mom. No, it's just Like,
Yeah,
there's this guy walking palm
yeah,
trees and
yeah,
stuff.
yeah, yeah,
That,
yeah. Right, right.
that's nice.
So
That's nice.
yeah, just a phone. It was just a picture I took on my phone randomly.
That's nice how we can literally see things from a different angle. And but then I think one thing comes to play, especially when you look at COVID, how COVID reshaped the way we work, the way we do things.
Right.
Sometimes we get overwhelmed. Let's say when you are working in China, you know that, you know, 9 to 6 we 9 to 6 996 or something,
Yeah,
you know,
99.
people are always working. And maybe sometimes we get overwhelmed. But then how do you stay focused? How do you stay balanced? Keep your creativity alive, knowing that you have to do your own your requirement as your career in architecture. You have to do projects. At the same time, you have to manage your brand, your personal life, your inter relationships, intra relationships. How do you manage all of that while staying balanced, focused, and even innovative?
Honestly, when I was working in China, I had a lot of problems with that. Because I think anyone working as an architect in China would know this. Like the work is always crazy. The overtime hours, it's like you basically have no life. You work on the weekend, you work from morning to like 9, sometimes 10. It was difficult, but I think I just had like so much passion for this project of mine that I get home from work maybe 10 p.m. and I sometimes I go to gym, sometimes I go like eat, and but I immediately just get on my computer and start doing my own thing, and I can be like that till 3 a.m. and then I go sleep, and then I wake up again in the morning at 8. I go to work and then just repeat, you know. And I think just because I had like so much passion for this, I didn't really feel tired. I usually feel tired at work because I'm like tired of all this work, you know, it's not really my stuff. But when I come back home, it's like I have more energy than I had
You have
during
more
work.
energy reserve, yeah.
Yeah, so I have like a lot of energy. I'm like still like researching and still doing a lot of this stuff. And also another thing that helped me was I wouldn't say I was good at planning, but I had some steps like I would take, do something, and then also I had I would still talk about them, like the guys I work with. So at this time I would make something and send it to them, and they would reply me almost immediately, like, oh, this looks okay, this doesn't look okay. Then I change. You know, that also gives me like the motivation to keep going because
To
I'm
keep
like,
going,
yeah, I'm talking to somebody. It's not like I'm just doing my own thing and not getting feedback from anybody. I'm just like, okay, I think I'm on the right track here. I think if I stay one more hour, I can get something. I can get to this feedback, you know, that kind of stuff. So that's what just helped me at that time. Yeah. With the and now also I still use that same principle. I just try to keep a balance right now.
That's cool. That's cool. I like the way where you know, you show the importance of also having a supportive system, you know, especially like in your endeavors. They say if you want to go, if you just want to go 1 kilometer, just go with by yourself. But if you want to go 50 and more, if you want to go far, you have to have people that walk with you and show you. Because I mean, we don't have that much many eyes, that many eyes. So sometimes we other eyes can help you. Like, yeah, I resonate with the idea that you're coming from your daily activities, your daily required activities, and you're exhausted from those. But when you sit on the computer and you're doing your own thing, there's that energy that you don't know how time runs out. You
You
just
don't
have
get
to
that
tell
problem.
yourself, you know, let's sleep. We'll do it tomorrow.
Right. I
I
get that.
hear that. I hear that. And sometimes you say, ah, today I'm tired, I'll sleep early. But you lie to yourself, you just open one thing and
You're dead till 6 a.m. and you're like, oh, I only have 1 hour to sleep. It happened to me a lot of times, that's why.
And the thing is, you still remember that I have to get up early in the morning because I'm required to, you know?
Right.
That's cool. That's cool. When you're doing something that you love, you really love, that helps you to stay focused, motivated. But the importance of also having people support your idea, your vision. Yeah. It's very good. It's very good. So with this mentioned, I mean, I'm about to bring 5-10 into the picture. You telling us your most proud moments in your design journey, right? Your proud works. Your proud endeavors, which of many projects that you have done that you, when you look at them, you're like, ah, that was satisfying. Ah, doing that was cool. I mean, 5-10 is definitely one of the things you enjoy doing up to now. But are there any other?
Oh, you mean like the designs or some other things I'm like working on?
I just mean in your design journey, what are some of the notable works that you know?
I think for me, all the works, like design works I've done, I think I get like some sort of fulfillment from it. Like everything is not the same degree of fulfillment, but I always get something from it.
Right.
Well, it's very difficult for me to choose. Because now, you know, I design buildings, I design like clothes as well. I have like different satisfaction from all of them. But I think also I have like a lot of lessons from all this area and this career. Like one I can say is before I started this, like when I write before I started this brand, and I remember the first samples, the first designs I made, and I sent it to the factory, and I was like, okay, make a sample for me. And when they sent it back, everything didn't look the same. because when you think of it, like when you see your drawings on the screen, at that time it didn't occur to me that when it comes out in real life, probably maybe the colors don't look the same, because probably the way you see it on the screen, maybe the temperature on your screen is different from like the printer and everything.
From real life.
So usually when I got that sample, I was already freaking out, like, okay, I think I might have gone tired of myself. Maybe this thing doesn't actually look good, you know? Then I go back, I change. But a lot of times, like these things just, it made me a little bit like down, because I'm thinking like, is it maybe, I'm just thinking like this looks good, but it's not, it doesn't actually look good. When then I started changing, I had like, the first time I made like maybe up to 20 samples. Just like changing, I'm like, okay, no, I'm not satisfied, I change. But I think the lessons I learned from then now is, like when I make something right now and I get a sample, I don't freak out anymore. Because now I understand, like, okay, there is always room for changes. Because the first time I received it, I was like, oh, it's over. My dream is over. This thing is never going to work out, because it never looks like it looks on the screen, you know?
But now
it's like, I'm expecting like them to send me something that is not what I want. And then I'm like, change. Sometimes it's not even their fault. Sometimes it's maybe my fault, the way I see the colors. And then I have changed it. But now, like, the process is a little bit better, because now I understand the colors better than when I first started.
Than when you were starting, yeah.
Yeah, now I understand the difference between the color on the screen and the color on the printer. You know, like, there is that. So, yeah, there is that. I think it made me more patient, actually. Because now I know, like, I have to talk to these guys like 20, 30 times before they get my stuff. And the first times I'll be just mad, like telling them, like, no, this is wrong, this is you, this is your fault, and all the stuff. But now I'm like, okay, I know, I understand, like, okay, maybe this, what can we change? And now I like ask them for like advice, like, okay, what do you think I can change? And now they're hoping to like tell me like, okay, this, because the first time they will be like, no, this is your fault. You'll be going back and forth like, no, this is your fault. This is my fault. So, you know, but now it's like, okay, I know this is a problem. How do we fix it? And they tell me like, okay, no, I don't know how to fix it. And I'm like, okay, I'll go check. Or maybe they tell me, okay, I know how to fix it. And you know, that lesson, I think it's quite important for me. Yeah. In the journey. Yeah. I wouldn't say there is one of my favorite designs, but I have a lot of designs I've done like on my PC that I haven't even shared because I still keep working on it. I wake up and I'm like, okay, I want to change something on this, you know.
Maybe you always have something to fix.
Yeah, exactly. Never ends. That's also That's something true. I'm trying to learn, like, okay, where is the line that okay, this is it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Sometimes, dealing with manufacturers, dealing with factories is not
easy.
I think
you also have experience with that.
When you order something and in your mind you're like, it was supposed to be like this. And I told you, and you know, communication issues, you're explaining this, explaining that, and they don't get it. It just ends up. Sometimes, I hear you on the part where you get frustrated. You're like, what is the person who is going to buy this? How are they going to think? And especially if you are making orders, like, especially, for instance, when I do customization of, you know, products. And I'm doing this customization for people.
Yeah.
And the people have a deadline that they are expecting to meet to get the products. And the manufacturer sends you the products and you look at them and you're like, why did you do this to me? It's difficult. It's difficult, and at the same time, it's rejuvenating when you get it right.
Yeah,
when it comes right, there's a good feeling about it.
Right. But yeah, there's another thing about that is another thing I learned is sometimes also the way you think like this thing should look is not always the way it would look, and the way you see it. It's different from how someone else will say it.
We'll see. Because
what I mean is, if I do something like, I want this to be maybe light green, for example, and they print it and it's dark green. If I come and sell it to you, you wouldn't come and tell me, no, this should be light green.
Yeah.
Because you don't know my intentions. For you, it's like,
you don't know the perspective.
Yeah. For you, it's like, this is cool. I like it. But for me, I'm like, no, I don't like because it should be light green. So that is also something I also learned to like pull away from, like pull the attachment I have to my own designs and be like, okay, this is okay. It's not supposed to be like 100%, but as long as it's good, like the quality is good, everything is good, it's still okay. It doesn't have to be the like bright RGB of blue or green or red, you know, that kind of stuff, and people don't even know your intention about it. They're like, I give you this and you're like, oh, this looks very intentional, I like the way you did it.
It's a mistake,
like, like you thought about it, you know, and you just came out like that, you know. That's also something like I learned, like
I think sometimes sorry for catching you, I think it is practical how sometimes you can invent or renovate something out of just the blue,
out of nothing. Yeah
Because just a little tweak and people think, oh, this is cool.
Yeah,
in your mind you're like, guys, if you knew it was a mistake, but I won't tell you now it's a mistake.
And sometimes, you know, you're designing, right, and you're like, okay, I'm writing all this thing, and then you make a mistake, you delete something, and I'm like, okay, it looks good, but this is not even there. And I'm like, okay, that was my intention, but it was just a mistake. Those kind of things happen.
That's true.
It's fun.
Hey, don't leave. We are going on with the conversation, and this is the Selfseed Podcast. Today we are with Faye, episode 15. He's helping us redefine design, and we're trying to incorporate design into our daily life and see how we can live a better life while enjoying the aesthetics of our environment, of our of how our life is just curated, how it is created. So Faye, now I want to take you out of take things out of your mind and see what can you advise to another young adult, to another youth trying to, you know, navigate. Someone maybe is in design school. Someone maybe is in just the beginning of their career. Someone is starting their own clothing brand or their own design company. What do you think is a better, is the greatest thing that you can let them know on their journey?
Okay, I'll split it into two, like architecture and the clothing brand, right? So for architecture is a very difficult profession. I've like quit in my mind 1,000,000,000 times. I can't even count how many times. Like, I'm like, I've even told my friends, oh, I'm gonna quit now, you know, and then I still keep going, you know. Sometimes I think it just ends up in the end, it's like, what do you want from it?
Mm.
You know, and cause sometimes I'm like, okay, I don't want to do architecture anymore. And then I go online, I see a picture of a building. I'm like, oh, this is cool. I would like to design something like this one day. You know, like,
yeah.
How will you design this if you say you want to quit? You understand? Mm. And yeah. Then I'm like, okay, I'm gonna do it for a while more. Maybe something will come on. And you know, life doesn't always go like the way you want. Mm. Like, go and go to work and so much work, and like, oh, I'm not even getting to this place where I'm like, okay, I need to build my own things.
Correct.
But I think in the end, it just depends on if you really want it.
Yeah.
And it's okay to like decide like, okay, you want to quit. It's okay to do something else. And it's okay to like be indecisive. Like, okay, do I want to do this? Do I don't want to do that? But I think at the end of the day, you just have to figure out what you want from it. Like, I watched I don't remember which podcast, but I heard somebody say something which really resonated with me one time, and it said, if you want to do something, never think about how, because you'll never do it, in the sense that you should think about why you want to do it. All because right. If you want to do something and you think about how will I do this, you'll never
will do, I it. Do this
because everything you want to do will be difficult. Because I'm like, oh, you're thinking like, okay, I want to create a clothing brand. How will I create a clothing brand? Then you're thinking like, oh, I have to go on my PC, make the design. I have to go online, look for a manufacturer. I have to go talk to them. I have to get the sample. Like, they have to make like 20 samples before I get one sample. You know, when you think about like
the whole process.
Yeah, you're like, okay, no, I don't want to do that. But then when you think about why do I want to do this? Mm. When you have like a bigger goal, then it becomes easier, because now you have like an end goal. So the guy said like, you think about why first, and then after you like figure out like why you want to do something, and then you think about how. I think that's a very good
how thing. Yeah, that's, I remember what one article I wrote on my on the Aussie Wanderer blog. Yeah. And one thing that I learned, and I ended up writing the article, is about redefining your why. Like,
yeah,
you have to have the, you know, the 5 W's and 1 H, and the H is actually the last one. The how is comes yeah. later.
Yeah,
your how comes yeah. later, but you have right. to have the why, the where, the when,
yeah,
the,
yeah.
with who, right. and then later yeah, comes the maybe the
yeah, right.
how. Yeah, the what, how. How is like the end thing that you're now going to say, okay, yeah. everything is already in place. I've started my processes. I'm already doing this. So how am I going to maybe achieve this, or how am I going to sell this, or how? Because as you said, it's a, and I think it's a very big setback that when we think, when we are looking at the full picture, it's so right. grand that yeah. we cannot comprehend the grandiosity of the picture.
Right.
And then
right.
we are feeling like, how am I going to do that? How?
Yeah,
and then
yeah,
you just yeah, end up yeah. saying, no, let's wait.
No, I cannot
and
make
the moment, error. The more you wait, it means the more you're pushing back your dream. But okay. the one thing I've also experienced is that when you just start doing and then keep the why constantly at check,
right.
you'll definitely eventually just automatically manage the how. how you're going to do it, because there's a thing about us human beings. I think our minds are so elastic that they can adopt new methodologies on how to do things.
Right.
If you decide just to embark on a journey, then easily you can see, fix the house.
But if
you just sit, as you said, on your chair, and you're just thinking, how am I going to do it? I want to do that, but how am I? When you think about all the setbacks, all the negatives, I think the negatives will even close up the positives.
Everything will be always difficult, right? And also another thing is this I learned very late also. It's like when I started, because I have this kind of like perfectionist like
mindset kind
of trait that when I started, I wanted everything to be the way I wanted
the way you want them.
Yeah, I wanted to be like this. Mm. And then when you start, you see you have a lot of problems, like you have cost problems, you have like what I say, manufacturing problems. But along the line, I realized that it's not about doing it all at once. Like the incremental changes.
Yeah.
What matters. So sometimes now when I do something and I'm like, okay, I made a mistake, I'm like, okay, fine. I'm not gonna do anything about it right now, but I still have another thing. You understand? So I'm not gonna all down about it, because I know next time I can fix it. And
yeah, there's always room for change. Go on.
Right. I remember I said I was going to split it into two, architecture and clothing brand. The clothing brand part is what I learned is, so when I started the clothing brand, my idea was I'm going to make these cool t-shirts that look nice, hoodies and stuff, and just sell it to people and everybody's going to buy it. But when you start, you realize when you make something, nobody's going to buy it.
Yeah.
But the thing is, people are only going to buy if you keep doing it.
Right.
So, for instance, you see, I made one t-shirt today. You probably wouldn't buy it, because why would I buy it? Tomorrow, I make another t-shirt. I tell you the story about this first t-shirt. Like, oh, I made this amazing t-shirt and all this stuff. You're not going to buy it. The second time also, you're probably not going to buy it. The third time also, you're probably also not going to buy it. Maybe when it gets like maybe 4, 5, 6, and then you're curious, like, how is this guy still going? There must be something good in this thing. Maybe he's selling out all this stuff. He's making a lot of money from it to be able to continue. And then you buy it, and then you see like, oh, it's good. So that's how you like convert people. You cannot convert people immediately. And that was something I didn't think in the first place. So I thought like, okay, I'm going to just give you the t-shirt. I'd be like, oh, yeah, I love it, I'm going to buy it. But it's never like that. So it's like, you just have to just outlast yourself. That's it. Just keep going. You do it this time, no one buys. Keep going. Because people always say that. That's the thing. So when you see it tomorrow, you see like 5 years from now, you'll be like, okay, what is in this stuff? Why does it keep going and not giving up? I think that's the only thing I can. Because I remember when I started the brand, I had a friend who told me like, because you made it, that doesn't mean someone will buy it. But at that time, for me, in my head, I was like, oh, this guy just hates me. You know, I was like, no, you cannot tell me that. I'm just starting. I mean, in that, but now I understand like, okay. Yeah, he's just like the wrong delivery, wrong time, but he had
he was very right. Yeah.
Yeah, very right. So, but you know, these are things you learn along the line. I'm just happy to be there.
I like the way that you say the guy was just hating. You thought at that moment, how do you come at this point and tell me? Because
I'm
trying
real.
To get to the top and you're telling me, oh, because I made it and what?
Yeah, that was real. I think that was real. Like now I understand. At that time I was like, no, this is some bad energy. But now I understand what it means.
I think there's power to when you realize that not everybody likes you. Not everybody will like the things that you deliver.
Yeah, right.
And you're not everybody's favorite.
Yeah.
And when you take this from your personal point of view and move it to your brand, you'll understand even how to navigate competition, navigate the difficulties of doing business or being a startup or being a small company.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Because when you're starting, as you said, when you're starting always a journey, you think maybe two or three friends, they tell you, yeah, this is a good idea. And you feel like the whole world will say it's a good idea.
Yeah, right.
But out there, the world is ruthless. And sometimes people just tell it to your face that, your products are not good.
Yeah,
and I think the important thing is when we put into consideration the process, knowing that we are learning. And especially I think how they like to say is accepting constructive criticism.
Yeah.
Especially if you know that you're always getting, oh, your products are so cool, you're nice. And I mean, that's not going to help you very much because nobody challenges your creativity, nobody challenges your innovation. Right. But when there is competition, when there is this constant criticism, definitely your innovation advances. You will always have a new idea. Okay, wait. Yes, I've pleased five people, but there's one person who said the clothes are not so good, right? So I have to think of a way that I'll at least reach to this person. This single person may feel and when you mentioned about your brand, your journey and so on, I think I for one person would want to know more how to reach out the story of the brand, right? Sure. The simple story of the brand, the overall portfolio, or how your works, your products. And this is my opportunity to you to share your brand story and the things that you do at 5teen, the products, the services, and so on. And the listener listening the same as me would want to reach out and maybe explore your products, because even us talking about the palm design, maybe someone doesn't know what we were talking about. As it goes, let the palms speak. Is it speak or guide you, something like that?
Palms see everything.
The palms see everything. I got that wrong. Maybe share with us about 5teen more.
Like I said in the beginning, the brand started at COVID, and in the beginning the idea for the name was 15.
Yeah, 15.
Yeah, so that's why you see the logo XV. You know the
XV
for 15. So what happened was, why we made 5teen was we couldn't get the domain name, couldn't get the Instagram name, and you know it's quite important in today's world. Like, you need a domain, Instagram, and all that stuff. So we already had the idea 15 and everything, and then we're like, okay, if this name's not available right now, what should we do? Then we're like, okay, let's add 5. It still kind of ties in, right? So now that's why you see sometimes I would call it 15 or I would call it 5teen, whatever, because that was the initial idea. Yes, it ties in with the XV. That's why you see some people also call it 15, some people also call it 5teen. So we don't make a distinction between these two. Yeah, so that's that. And then, so I started during COVID. I did the first drop. That was the t-shirts and the hoodies.
Yeah.
And during this time, I had my brother helping me with, I just send him ideas, and sometimes he tell me, this is cool, I like this, I don't like this, or something like that. And also I had another friend who we lived together in China before, and then he moved to Canada. So this guy also, I'm always sending him ideas and everything. And then even out of his pocket, he gave me some money to like run the sample. At that time, we were not working together. It was just like, oh, I like this. So just run the samples. And because he saw like also I was like making a lot of losses like with the samples because I had like so many. I was like, oh, just take this money and run the sample. And then I dropped the first, I did the first shoot. I did drop the first pin, the first drop and everything. And then moving on, I was still talking to like, my brother also was always like, always involved in the process of like the design and my friend in Canada also. And then moving on, I was just like, told this guy in Canada, like, okay, what if we do it together? Because I already feel like we had like similar ideas because when I tell him this, he's already like, oh, you can do this. And I'm like, oh, I was already thinking about this before.
Yeah, so, we're on the same mind, yeah?
Yeah, I feel like we're on the same path. I was like, oh, let's run this thing together. And also my brother, because he was always there, I was like, okay, you also do there. And then he also had a friend who was like a very creative guy. He does picture, he takes pictures. He also like have a eye for design, like, you know, like what we said. And it was like, oh, I have this guy also. I was like, oh, cool, let's join. So that's how we're like, okay, we created like a network, right? And that's how we started. We did the second shoot. On the shoot, there was a girl that was invited to the shoot also. And she was like, oh, this is very cool. I like this stuff. And we were like, oh, my friend also told her like, oh, we're looking for somebody. Maybe you can run the social media and all that. So she's like, oh, she's interested. So that's how, you know, the team kept getting bigger like that. And now we're like, okay, all kind of like a partnership. And I feel like without these guys, maybe I would have given up also, I said. Because, you know, it's difficult. Sometimes it gets very, very difficult. Sometimes you cannot be 100% all the time. Sometimes you're like 50%, sometimes you're 90%, sometimes you're like 10%. But then if you have more percentage from the guys I work with, they're like, okay, you can do this, or let's do this. And then I'm like, okay, I keep pushing. Because sometimes maybe in a week, I'm like, okay, I don't want to think about any of these stuff. I'm not running any designs. I'm not coming to any meetings this week. And it was always cool. There was still like going on. Nothing stopped, right? So can you imagine if I was the only person and this week I'm like, okay, I'm not going to do anything. Everything stops for a week. and then it can get to 2 weeks, right? It can get to 3 weeks and get to a month, you know, that kind of stuff. So I think it's very important for me to get all of these guys on page. And I feel like we all have the same vision for the project. And if like when I give them an idea, like, oh, I think we should do this, their first answer is always do it. It's not like, oh, why do you want to do this? They don't question me like, okay, tell me, come pitch the idea to me or something like that. You know, that kind of stuff. Just like do it. So that's the energy I like. So yeah. So we're all just trying to move it as much as we can. And I feel like all of these guys are very talented in their own ways. We have the guys who are very like good with business. We have guys who's like good with like communicating with people. We have the guys who's like very good with social media. So I think we have all the right people to get. Yeah. So yeah, we're just working like that.
They usually say when you have the right people in your corner, when you have the right minds in your corner, you're already halfway there.
Right.
You're going good. Yeah. So congratulations on that.
Thank you. Keep
doing the good job that you guys are doing. I think it is evident if you go to www.15studios.com.
Right.
Someone will also attest to the good ideas that are being created by you guys. So that's a very good job. So thank you very much, Faye, for being with us today. Thank you for sharing awesome insights on how we can redefine, rethink about design and see how we can even better mix it into our daily life and see that there are just simple traits, simple processes that we can do every day that are based on design or design thinking, design approaches, principles, and just emulate them in our daily life. Thank you so much for being part of today's podcast. And maybe you can share how can our listeners, how can the people listening, the young person listening right now, how can they connect with you, your works?
So you can check me at my personal page on Instagram, where I post some of my designs sometimes. I'm trying to be consistent on that, but you know, sometimes I post like once and I fall off and then I come back like, you know, I never left, you know. So my personal Instagram is by Feyi Fakolade. So it's BYFEYIFAKOLADE. That's my personal page. And you can check out our brand Instagram, 15 Studios or 15 Studios. It's spelled FIVETEEN, then Studios. That's our Instagram. And yeah, basically, you can send us a DM on Instagram and our brand page. You can send me a DM personally. I would reply personally. And on the brand page, someone else would reply you, but we're always there. So yeah, that's how you can find me, basically.
That's cool. Thank you so much for coming. Thank you so much for sharing such awesome insights.
Yeah, and thank you for having me.
It was an awesome conversation.
All right.
Dear listeners, thank you for being part of today's podcast. This was season 3, episode 15, Redefining Design. We have looked at design for just products, processes, and even we looked at everything in between there. So today we had Faye on the podcast, and this episode was probably brought to you by OC Outdoor Products. And you can go to www.ocgroup.com and check out their products and services. And we have Faye with us. And until next time, I hope you apply the design principles to your daily life. And do reach to Faye on Instagram or 15 Studios on Instagram or www.15studios.com if you want to learn more about them and their products. Until next time, take care. This is the Self-Seed Podcast, your personal friend in
development. Just one last thing. This one,
yeah, yeah, sure.
Did you plan the episode? Because it's episode 15, right? So it just matches.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't plan it. Just, now that I think of it,
yeah,
I didn't plan it. It just happened automatically. I think I need to name this episode as season 3, episode 15.
I swear, that's a good idea.
You know, all this time I didn't put it into mind. Now your back is
working. Yeah, just right now when you said it, I'm like, oh, God, was it planned?
That's so cool. Thank you for reminding me. But yeah, I didn't plan. It just happened, and now it's cool. When you put it into my mind.
Yeah, that's cool.
Let's call this episode 5G.
Yeah, I love the name.
Thank you, and hope to see you next time. And dear listeners, remember to subscribe on your favorite listening platform for new episodes every Tuesday. Bye-bye.